Well, I guess you could say the theme of the day is resolution. Hope you can be with us tonight as we'll again speak of the Christian's resolve, the resolution, hopefully that we all have and will continue to have as we go through life. Today, of course, is a day of many firsts. It's the first day of the week as we assemble together and worship God. It's the first day of the week. Just said that. It's the first of the month as we begin the month of January, first of a new year as we begin this year of 2012. And as we do so often, want to again encourage you to think about the blessings that you have enjoyed in the past year. Think about lessons and things that you have learned from the experiences of this past year. Think about how those will affect us as we head into a new year. What do we want to see different? What do we want to see changed? What do we maybe want to see happen the same way? And maybe continue in some things that we began last year. But particularly, as we often do around the first of the year, I want to encourage you in your study of God's Word. And many make a resolve around this time that during this year, I'm going to spend more time in God's Word, and that's certainly the effort that I want to encourage you in and spend a little more time thinking about this morning. Encouraging you to dwell in to God's Word in 2012. Spend more time in reading about God and His will, reading about the Word that He's, or in His Word that He's revealed to us, that we might know more of His nature, more of His will for our lives, more of the hopes and the promises that He has laid out before us. Much like Paul, as he was gathered there with the Ephesian elders, and he would say, I commend you unto God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are saved. Acts 20 and verse 32. In the same way, we commend you to God and to the word of His grace. We spend more time in learning of Him and of His will this year. In the past 3 years that I've been with you, we have typically dwelt on the first of the year speaking about some resolve, and oftentimes have mentioned resolve in studying God's Word. In the past, within the bulletin, there has been a block on the second page that gave a daily Bible reading schedule. That if you were to follow that schedule, it would have you to read through the Bible in the course of the year, once the Old Testament and once through the New. Back in October, when Jason Rollo was visiting with us, I had the opportunity, as he was conducting our gospel meeting, to visit with him some and talk about a Bible study program that he has been working on over the course of over a year now and is nearing its completion. And as I had opportunity to speak with him, I already began to formulate in my mind that this was something that we might try in the coming year. Some, in fact, I believe, started working on that even shortly after he left, or while maybe he was still here, and have enjoyed it. And it's a program that I'm going to commend to you, or recommend that possibly you would want to consider going through. I'll say with us. It's a program I'm going to be going through and speaking of from time to time, and hopefully there will be others as well. At the back this morning, and you may have received one as you came in, are the sheets, the first week of this study. He has simply called it the Bible Study Program, and I hope you will grab one of those. I may need to make a few. If you didn't get one, let me know, and I can get those for you very quickly this morning. And I hope you'll take that. I hope you'll look it over. At least consider doing the first week, looking at it, seeing how it's laid out, see if it's something that you would enjoy doing, something you can commit yourself to. As he has written there at the headlines or the opening paragraphs, he speaks of this program hopefully being something that is easy enough to fit into your schedule. It's set up so that 6 days out of the week you are studying in your Bible. He gives you a Sunday as time with family, time with the church when we gather together here, and then the other 6 days he has in the schedule. It studies each week through 6 chapters of the Old Testament and 2 chapters of the New Testament. And notes that if you will continue in this study through the course of it, that by the time you are done, you will have studied through the Old Testament once, and you will have studied through the New Testament 3 times in the course of 2.5 years. One of the reasons that I like this and wanted to present it for you is because it's more than simply a Bible reading schedule. This is something that, if you'll participate in it, is not just something I'll quickly sit down and skim through the pages of God's Word. This is something that's going to cause me to sit down and read, and hopefully read for comprehension and application. And go back. He has a checklist also at the bottom of each of the first page for each week that you can read, see what you're supposed to do that particular day. Check it off when you're done so you remember and know that you have completed that section. It's not recommended lest you get behind, but if you were to miss a day, that'll show you what you need to go back and catch up on. And then on the following pages for each week, he has questions. And this is, again, where I was going back to being more than just a Bible reading schedule. This is going to cause you to go back and think about what you've just read. Hopefully cause some more thought. Hopefully get us looking at God's Word for more than just simply being able to check off a list that we've done something or we've done some reading, but caused us to think about, what is it I've just read? What are the events that happened? Who are the people that were spoken of? What's the importance of what I just read? Is something here maybe deeper than just a casual reading would have brought to attention? And so I hope that you will follow through with that schedule. I'm putting before myself a challenge as well that might help us. Each week we'll have these study sheets available, probably next to the bulletins each week, and so you'll be able to pick them up. You know what to do during that coming week. And my goal is that each week, one of the sermons, whether it be a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening sermon, is going to be on some of the material that you've read in the past week. And so this will have the text that we're studying that morning. It will be something you're already familiar with, something you've already studied and thought about, and hopefully that will give it some cohesiveness. And then, of course, at any time, if you have questions that we want to specifically deal with, let me know. We'll talk about that, and maybe that'll be the subject of an upcoming sermon. And so those are back there. This first week is Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis 6, and also Matthew 1 and 2. And hopefully next week we're going to have a sermon on Genesis chapter 1 and the creation of God. It could have easily been, of course, the events surrounding the birth of Christ from Matthew chapters 1 and 2. It could have been concerning the introduction of sin and the problem thereof as it arises in Genesis chapter 3 through 6. So something I hope that you'll look forward to, something I hope you will enjoy. And again, what I'm asking of you is that you would pick up those sheets, that you would consider participating with us during this course that, again, will take about 2.5 years to complete through, and that I hope you will enjoy it. Well, 2 questions before we get into the bulk of our sermon. That's by way of encouragement. Do I have to do this? Well, of course, the answer is no. We understand we're all free will individuals. You have the choice of what you do. This is a program I recommend. It's a program that I hope many in the congregation will decide to participate in. But you do not have to do this. But what I am going to encourage you to do is at least choose to do something. There are all kinds of plans that you can find. There are plans that will take you through the Bible in 90 days. There are plans that will take you through the New Testament every 6 months or so. There are plans that will get you through the Bible in 3 years. What works for you? Sometimes I'm afraid some people look at a schedule, and once they get off of that schedule, they get so discouraged, they just give up. I hope you'll find something that works for you and commit yourself to it. More than any specific plan, I hope you'll make the determination to be more involved in our study of God's Word. And again, not just a cursory glance at it, but that we're involved in learning, we're involved in growing in our knowledge of the Word of God, that we become not like the Christians that are being written to in Hebrews chapter 5. At a time in which he says, you ought to have become teachers, you yourself have need that someone come again and teach you what be the first principles of the oracles of God. It's almost as if we've got to start all over. The problem is they had stagnated. In fact, in stagnating, they had begun to go backwards. And we certainly don't want that to happen in our own lives. And we want to encourage one another that we would continue learning, continue maturing, continue growing in God's Word. And so I do hope you will give it a try, determine a schedule that works for you, and consider this one as one that I think you can fit into your schedules. He says 15 to 30 minutes. I'm a slow reader, and so 30 minutes probably will take it from me. You're going to spend some time there in thought, depending on how much time you give to some of the questions. But something I think is definitely manageable within the course of your week. Second question. Why is it that we concentrate so much at the beginning of the year on the reading of God's Word? Couldn't we focus on prayer? Couldn't we focus on the family, on the home? Couldn't we focus on Christian living? And certainly the answer to all those questions is absolutely. And there may be times in which we specifically deal with a theme and encourage one another to be thinking about that theme and growing in that particular area of our life. But one reason I appreciate this emphasis on reading God's Word is because if you will get into it, and if you'll get into it in a systematic way, not where I'm just sitting down every now and then when I think about it and seeing where the Bible opens to a certain page and reading a little bit, I'll get into it in a systematic way that's going to lead me through a reading and a study of God's Word, then it's going to cover all of those areas. If you will commit yourself to studying the Bible, you're going to learn about prayer. If you're truly studying and will apply these things, you're going to grow in your prayer life. As you read and study, you're going to learn about the Christian life. You're going to learn about the roles of husband and wife in the marriage. You're going to learn about the home. You're going to learn about the histories of God's people. All of these things are things you'll come across, and that's particularly why I emphasize Bible study. Is because, again, a comprehensive plan is going to lead you through all of those areas. And so I hope that you will focus on that, because in that course of study, we will learn these things about God's Word. And so as I encourage you this morning to hopefully use this Bible study program, if not that program, choose something that's going to help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. As we do that, I want to think about some encouragement that Paul would give unto a young minister, a preacher, to the man by the name of Timothy, and particularly in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And here Timothy, while he was a minister and many of Paul's comments were geared directly toward that end, nevertheless, many of the things that Paul writes unto Timothy we can make application to in our own lives. Timothy was doing things that to some degree all of us ought to be involved in and working on and doing in our own lives. So as the King James Version says, Paul would encourage Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I oftentimes like the English Standard, I'm afraid, because of how we use words in history. They missed it a little in this regard. They would say, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Unfortunately, again, because of various things that exist in our society, I don't see the expression "do your best" as expressing what the text is actually saying here. So oftentimes we just, well, do your best, and we're going to be happy with whatever it is that you do. And oftentimes we're not exactly putting forth great effort, but we're happy with that as our best. And so that's unfortunately how I see that phrase, and I'm afraid maybe is seen in our society. And so I like the American standard here. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. I think we can break Paul's charge here down into three areas. And he encourages Timothy in the area of application. Particularly here, what I'm thinking of is applying yourself. Timothy, give diligence to that which you are doing. You are a minister. You are a servant of God. Give yourself wholly to the task that is before you. We're encouraging you this year, certainly to live the Christian life, but we're focusing this morning on delving into God's Word, digging deeper into it. Commit yourself, apply yourself to this task that is before you. Of this word, various ones have said that it indicates giving speed, that is, to make effort, to be prompt, to be earnest, to do or to give diligence, to be diligent or forward, endeavor, labor, study. Thayer would say to make hasten or to hasten, make haste, exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence. Again, the idea here is of one that is striving, one that is putting forth great effort in a particular task that is set before him. And as we'll see as we continue through this verse, give diligence, put forth this effort to be approved of God. Timothy, don't just approach your work, don't just approach the labor and the efforts that are before you haphazardly. Don't go at them half-heartedly. Rather, give yourself to them. Paul, as he's writing, and he's writing Timothy, be approved of God. And he's going to show as we reach the end of the verse how he's going to be approved of God is going to be in handling aright the Word of God. Timothy, in order to do that, you're going to have to know God's Word. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to learn it. Study is not the best translation here for the tense or the sense of this verse. I believe it is included in it, but it's much more broad than that. Timothy, apply yourself to the work that is before you, and that's going to require study, but it's much more broad than just study itself. But as we focus in particularly on study, we can learn the same thing. Will you apply yourself? Will you put forth the effort here? Again, Timothy, if you're going to know that which is pleasing unto God, you're going to have to be familiar with God's Word. You cannot handle aright. You cannot use that which you are unfamiliar with. Remember the first time you picked up a fishing rod. Remember the first time you sat down before a computer. Remember the first time you used a cell phone or anything that you can imagine along that regard. Until you learned about that, until you became more proficient with it, it wasn't very useful in your hands probably. But here he urges Timothy, you give diligence. Work here, apply yourself to the task that is before you. And I'm going to propose to you, we need the same determination and planning to say, I'm going to be faithful unto God. And specifically, as we're studying this morning, we need to apply ourselves to determine and have a plan of how I'm going to study God's Word. If I'm setting forth my goal, I want to be faithful unto God. That's not going to come haphazardly. That's not just going to happen accidentally. I, like Daniel, am going to have to be determined or purposed in my mind to serve God. Daniel 1 and verse 8. He had already decided what he was going to do. Likewise for ourselves, I have to decide I am going to be faithful unto God. I'm going to have a plan of what I'm going to do in certain situations that I might find myself in. I'm going to make this effort and put it forth diligently to serve Him. As I think about studying God's Word again, I have to be determined. If I just think, well, okay, I'll look at that. I might study my Bible more this year. We'll see if I can find some time. I can probably already guarantee you you're not going to do it. Unless you have that determination and say, I will apply myself to do this, it's not going to happen. And likewise, with that determination, you need a plan. So this is how I'm going to do it. Does this plan work for you? Do it. And follow through with it. Are you is that particular plan maybe not the best for you and you can find something that's going to work for you? Do it. But stick to it. Determine I'm going to follow through with it. And so think about application. But also think about approval. As Paul is writing unto Timothy, he says, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God. Paul is writing to Timothy, but Paul does not say, show yourself approved unto me. Paul does not say, make me happy. He doesn't say, make the congregations among whom you're going to serve happy. He certainly doesn't say, make the world happy. Give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. Determine that I'm going to seek approval. Not of man, but of God. This is what Paul had done consistently within his own life. He was able to say on one occasion in Acts chapter 23, in verse 1, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And Paul thought he had always done that which was right before God. And he had applied himself unto this. He didn't always please Christians. He was killing them on one occasion in his life. He certainly didn't always please the Jews. They would seek his own death after he converted to Christianity. But what he was determined is, I want to do that which is right in the sight of God. And so you see a great change in his life, because when he realized there was something amiss, there was something that wasn't right, he readily changed because he sought the approval of God. We can see this if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he says in verse 9 and 10, wherefore we labor, we're working, we're diligently laboring, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. My goal is to be accepted of God. My goal is to be pleasing unto Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. I'm going to stand in judgment before my God. Paul will speak of the judgment in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, in the day in which God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That is the gospel he preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew, I'm going to stand before my God. And I know the standard by which I'm going to be judged as well. It's by the Word of God and by the actions of my life. And so I am going to seek to be approved of Him. He wrote unto the Galatians, and he said in Galatians 1, in verse 10, do I now seek to persuade men or God? Or do I seek to persuade men or please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Can't seek to please men and do that which is honorable before God, which is right in His sight, because they're not always going to line up. And so I have to determine, I want to please God. In fact, as he's writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, and he's urging them to abound in the work that they're doing, he said that you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Paul was the one preaching. He said, I don't want you to please me. That's not what I want you to do. I don't want you to obey the gospel or live the Christian life because you think that's what Paul wants you to do. I want you to do it because you know that it's right in the sight of God. And so he could have confidence then in whom he was standing before. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul will say, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are God's servants. He goes on to say, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm working for God. He's the one I'm serving. That ought to be the knowledge all of us have as Christians. And he says here, as a steward, it's my job to be faithful. I've been entrusted as a steward of my life. I've been entrusted as a steward in the money that I have. I've been entrusted as a steward in the time that I have in life. I've been entrusted as a steward in the opportunities that I have in life. I've been entrusted as a steward with how I will handle the Word of God. What am I going to do with those opportunities? Paul says it's expected or required in stewards, that is servants, overseers, that a man be found faithful. Unto whom, though? Paul says, with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. In a sense, I don't really care what men think of me. Oh yes, I want to do and provide things honest in the sight of all men. But ultimately, I know he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 4. And so I'm going to seek His approval. And knowing that, Paul could reach the end of his life with confidence that he was going on to his reward, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. And so application, apply yourself to a task, but then approval. Seek the approval of God. How does that tie in with our emphasis of study? Well, I hope that you will choose to be more diligent in your study of God's Word this year. I hope maybe even you'll decide to follow this particular plan of study that we're setting before you. But I also hope that in whatever you decide, that you're going to do it not for my approval, and that you're going to seek to do it, not just that you can check off a list as you go through and show to others, hey, look at what I'm doing. But we can approach it in the mindset of, I'm seeking God's approval. And I want to know more about Him. And I want to know more about His will. And I want to know more about what He's revealed unto me. And so I'm going to delve into His Word. I'm going to desire to learn and grow in my knowledge of what He has given unto me. And in so doing, I'm also going to come across those things that are going to show me, am I approved of God? Am I living the life that He would have me to live? Because that's what I'm interested in. And then finally, the idea of action. Maybe this is the idea of application as we typically think about it, but it's the idea of what I have learned, I'm going to put into use. Don't deceive your own selves that you are hearers of the Word of God only and not doers, James chapter 1 and verse 22. Here we need to read God's Word, yes, but as you do so, put it into application. Put it into action in your life. This phrase is expressed as rightly dividing the word of truth in the King James Version. The English Standard again says rightly handling the word of truth. The American Standard, handling aright the word of truth. Maybe my preference is the margin of the American Standard, holding a straight course in the word of truth. Strong's notes of this word that it is to make a straight cut or to dissect correctly. Thayer says to cut straight, to proceed on straight paths or hold a straight course, to make straight and smooth, to handle aright, to teach the truth directly and correctly. A.T. Robertson, in his word studies, uses three illustrations of this phrase. He could say it would be as a farmer that's plowing his fields in straight rows. He would say it could be used of a tent maker that's cutting the cloth for his tents properly and straightly in a straight line, or a stonemason cutting straight through a stone cleanly and smoothly. He says, therein lies this idea of God's Word. How I need to handle it. That I'm going to deal straightly, cut straightly through the Word of God. Here, Paul again is writing to Timothy. And Paul says, Timothy, this is how you can know you're going to be approved of God. Apply yourself, give diligence to be approved of God. How is that going to happen? By handling aright the word of truth. When you do that, you are a workman. Notice again the effort that's being put in. You're a workman that does not need to be ashamed before his master. You're going to be well-pleasing in his sight. If you look in the context here, Paul is urging Timothy, turn away from those things that will destroy and will not benefit, verse 14. There are certainly teachings and doctrines and talk, Timothy, you can waste your time with, and the most that's going to happen is you're going to destroy your faith and the faith of others, and you're going to waste your time. Avoid those things. He would go on to say in verse 16 through 19, avoid those things that are destructive or corruptive. Have nothing to do with them, because it has already destroyed the faith of some. Instead, Timothy, you focus on those things that are right and those things that are good. A gospel preacher by the name of Winfred Clark was a masterful sermon writer, in my opinion. He said of this section that we are to avoid useless things, verse 14. We are to apply ourselves to proper things, verse 15. And he also says that we are to abstain from corruptive things, verse 16 through 19. And that such a man will be, or such will mean, a book well read, a work well done, and a master well pleased. One that had such a mindset was going to be one that sought to please God and walk according to His authority. To do all things in word or deed according to the name of or the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 and verse 17. But Timothy, if you're going to handle aright, if you're going to cut straight paths through the Word of God, you're going to have to know it. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to learn it. It's going to require, first off, again, your study of it and your thought, your meditation upon it. It's going to take your application to your own life, first and foremost. And then also, Timothy, you go forth and you teach it right. It's going to require us knowing, yes, the division of the dispensations. Am I under the Old Testament, the New Testament? It's going to require my understanding of those periods of Bible history. Learn, I'm under the New Testament, and I serve under that covenant. It's going to require that I learn about the gospel plan of salvation. What would God have me to do in order to be saved? It's going to require me to learn about the Christian life. It's going to require me to learn about the church and about worship. All of these things are going to be necessary in order to handle aright, to do properly with the Word of God. That I can be considered before God as a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Paul praised the Christians at Berea. They were more noble than those at Thessalonica, and that they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Acts 17 and verse 11. I can't go about in my study of God's Word and distrust what everyone else says. It's going to require my own effort to learn what's right, what do I need to be following. I need to have the attitude that as newborn babes, I'm going to desire the sincere milk of the Word that I might grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm going to want to be growing in that. Indeed, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Let us, like Paul, encourage Timothy to be diligently seeking to please God by our actions according to His Word. And certainly as we are seeking to do that, that's going to require me to know what's God want me to know? What has He revealed to me? That's going to take time in His Word, studying it, learning from it, and seeing what He has spoken even unto me. That's the determination I hope you'll set forth with this year. I'm going to delve deeper into God's Word in 2012. Will you make that same determination? to, like Timothy here, apply ourselves to the tasks that are before us, to seek the approval of God and to put these things into action, to be a workman that stands before God unashamed of His work, and particularly as we focused in on this morning, studying His Word and learning more about Him, more about His will. I hope you'll make that determination. I hope you'll start the new year off on that footing of wanting to know more about God and please God more as we go through this year. Maybe there's one here, even as we've studied today of God's Word, that in your studies by yourself or with others, you've learned of what God would have you to do to be right with Him. Ready to repent of sins, confess Christ, to be baptized in, immersed in water for the remission of sins, added unto the church, which God has promised to save. Maybe one that has recognized, again, through our study of God's Word, I've turned aside, I've quit doing those things that I should, and I want to get back on the right track. I ask for the forgiveness of brothers and sisters in Christ. I ask for your prayers that would encourage me and strengthen me in this task, or maybe some other effort. And certainly, I hope, if public response isn't necessary, at least you'll think about the things we've encouraged you this morning in our study of God's Word that will grow in it in this new year. If you're subject to that invitation, wouldn't you let it be known, even as together we stand, as we sing.